In February 1940, at the Israelite community here in Munich, we learned of the deportation of the Pomeranian Jews. This news from Stettin was a first foreboding of what would happen to all of us sooner or later. To begin with, we were numbed by shock. But we quickly realized we had to do everything we could to help the people who had been deported to camps in occupied Poland. From our chairman to the youngest typist and the caretaker, no one was deterred by the risk of severe punishment we ran in violating the prohibition imposed by the authorities. We knew that two things were important: to send packages and to correspond with as many of the deportees as possible. Both activities were to be centrally organized from my little office. I was the Israelite community's social welfare worker. If our relief operation was to succeed, we had to take every precaution and seek the aid of non-Jewish friends. I didn't have to look long. My Quaker friends in Munich, Copernicusstraße 11, the Cohens, had often shown willing to help. News soon came through that the deportees we had written to could write back. If the sender's personal address was given, they could reply. In German-occupied Poland, the so-called General Government of Poland, postal affairs fell under German administration. We heaved a sigh of relief when we saw that messages were getting through quickly and, at least in the early months, that they were uncensored, as long as the sender's name was not obviously Jewish. We sent them 2 kilo packages because they required no dispatch form. That seemed less likely to attract attention. But from the receipt confirmations, we saw that whatever was new or looked nice was being taken out. So we said to ourselves, to make sure that deportees receive everything we send, it must either look used or unattractive. We unstitched winter coats and sent the different parts in 3, sometimes 4, separate packages. Similarly, other articles of clothing. Medical instruments were dismantled, unobtrusively numbered, and then clandestinely explained in a letter or card. Before sending enamel plates and cups, we would scratch or write on them. We removed medicines from their original packing and filled them into little bags or linen sachets. We sewed patches on stockings and new woolen goods. Shoes and boots of all sizes were never sent as pairs, but individually. Apart from such items of daily use, leisure materials were also important. Reading matter, games and learning materials for the children, writing implements, knitting and crocheting wool, needles and hooks, whittling knives for woodwork. All our packages went to the committee elected by the deportees and were then distributed. Soon we were sending money direct, although here again we relied on the aid of our non-Jewish friends. 10 Deutsche Reichsmarks could be sent monthly on every German passport, except, of course, on ours, which were stamped with a big J. This option had been created to give the German occupying forces an extra source of income. The German authorities felt so confident of their power that it never occurred to them we might dare to violate orders. Many people in Munich regularly sent money to the deportees and it never came out. We sent about 100 packages a week from as many different post offices in the city as possible. Here too there were volunteers. Looking back, it still fills me with admiration to think we never lacked for contents or packaging materials despite its being wartime. Jewish and non-Jewish friends got involved and took out sponsorships, not only in Munich, but in Berlin too.